Type 1 diabetes in 2026. What has actually changed? For decades, the central goal in type 1 diabetes was better replacement of insulin. In 2026, that remains essential, but the frontier has widened. Researchers are now pursuing three connected goals: replacing insulin-producing cells, protecting those cells from immune attack, and making everyday glucose management increasingly automated. The important word is connected. A cell therapy can produce insulin and still fail because the immune system destroys it. An immune therapy can preserve some beta cell function without removing the need for insulin. And an automated insulin delivery system can dramatically improve control without being a biological cure. Understanding the field means keeping those achievements separate. Start with what a true cure would require. A replacement cell must sense glucose and release the right amount of insulin. It must function durably. It must avoid both recurrent autoimmunity and rejection as foreign tissue. The treatment must also be safe, retrievable or controllable if something goes wrong, manufacturable at scale, and accessible beyond a small number of specialized centers. No current therapy satisfies all of those requirements at once. Cell replacement has nevertheless crossed an important threshold. Stem cell-derived, fully differentiated islets have restored physiologic insulin secretion in clinical research. In the reported full-dose cohort, most evaluable participants became insulin-independent after 1 year. That is a major proof of principle. Manufactured cells can replace the lost endocrine function of the pancreas. But this is not yet a broadly available cure. Participants required chronic systemic immunosuppression. That introduces risks including serious infection, cytopenias, liver injury, and other drug toxicities. The evidence also comes from a small, selected population with severe disease burden. The result is scientifically important, but the balance of benefit and harm is not the same for a person doing well with modern insulin technology. Donor islet therapy tells a similar story. Lantidra established that transplanted islets can produce meaningful clinical benefit for carefully selected adults with recurrent severe hypoglycemia despite intensive management. Yet donor scarcity, variable durability, procedural demands, and immunosuppression sharply limit its reach. The hardest problem is therefore immune protection. One early human report used genetically modified donor beta cells designed to reduce immune recognition. The cells survived and produced glucose-responsive insulin without systemic immunosuppression during the reported observation period. That is an extraordinary signal, but it came from one participant and a limited cell mass. It demonstrates biological possibility, not a finished treatment. Encapsulation and device-based protection remain another route. The idea is to place cells behind a barrier that allows oxygen, nutrients, glucose, and insulin to pass while restricting immune attack. In practice, foreign body responses, fibrosis, oxygen delivery, and the number of cells that can survive inside a device remain difficult engineering problems. Immune therapy is also moving earlier in the disease course. Teplizumab established that type 1 diabetes can be modified before clinical diagnosis. For people with stage 2 disease, treatment can delay progression to stage 3. In 2026, United States regulation expanded in two important ways. The stage 2 indication reached younger children, and an accelerated approval covered certain patients aged 8 through 17 with recently diagnosed stage 3 disease, based on preservation of C-peptide. That distinction matters. C-peptide is a marker of endogenous insulin production. Preserving it is biologically meaningful, but a surrogate endpoint is not automatically the same as better A1C, more time in range, or fewer episodes of severe hypoglycemia. Confirmatory evidence remains important. Teplizumab also requires careful infection screening, laboratory monitoring, and attention to infusion reactions, cytopenias, liver abnormalities, and viral reactivation. Other immune approaches have preserved beta cell function without becoming routine type 1 diabetes therapy. Golimumab, baricitinib, low-dose antithymocyte globulin, and verapamil illustrate that several pathways can influence the decline of endogenous insulin production. Their effects, safety profiles, study populations, and regulatory status differ. None should be treated as interchangeable, and most remain research or specialist questions rather than standard prescribing. While cure research develops, automated insulin delivery is producing the largest present-day improvement for the greatest number of people. Continuous glucose monitoring, modern pumps, and adaptive algorithms can increase time in range and reduce management burden. Fully automated or more autonomous systems continue to advance, but meals, exercise, illness, infusion site failures, and sensor errors still require education and backup plans. Adjunct medicines also need careful interpretation. In people with type 1 diabetes and obesity, a GLP-1 medicine may reduce weight and insulin requirements, but it does not replace insulin and is not an approved cure. SGLT inhibitors can improve some glucose metrics while increasing the risk of diabetic ketoacidosis, sometimes without extreme hyperglycemia. These drugs target metabolic phenotype, not the underlying autoimmune loss of beta cells. So what is the practical hierarchy in 2026? For most people, the foundation remains continuous glucose monitoring, automated insulin delivery when appropriate, structured education, acute safety planning, and prevention of complications. For stage 2 disease, referral for teplizumab evaluation is now part of disease-modifying care. For recently diagnosed children who meet the new indication, the potential benefit must be weighed against monitoring requirements and remaining uncertainty. Transplant center evaluation is reserved for highly selected people with severe recurrent hypoglycemia despite optimized care. Stem cell and immune-evasive products belong in authorized clinical trials until their durability, safety, scalability, and real-world value are established. The central conclusion is both hopeful and disciplined. Type 1 diabetes is no longer a field with only one strategy. Manufactured islets have shown that cell replacement can work. Immune modification has shown that disease progression can be altered. Automated delivery has made present-day management safer and more effective. But combining those advances into a durable, immune-protected, scalable, and equitable cure remains the unfinished task. That is the real breakthrough story of 2026. Not one miracle therapy, but several barriers falling at once, with the immune barrier still defining how far the field can go. This program is an educational clinical evidence review and is not individualized medical advice. Treatment decisions should be made with an appropriate diabetes specialist using current labels, guidelines, and the patient's complete clinical history.